everyone. Welcome to the James Inc. Podcast. This is Ayan Watson, your host.
And my name is Alisa Bell. I am the executive director.
Yes. Thank you all for joining today. Stay tuned in. We appreciate your love and support. Today, we are interviewing fitness guru, media consultant, and very, very much more. Hi, Miss Kim.
Hey. Hey, thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you and Alisa today. Thank you guys so much for thinking about me.
Absolutely. It is an honor to have you here, and thank you for your willingness to be here. So if you could introduce yourself for those who are unaware and give us a bit about your upbringing.
All right, Ayan. Okay, so I know we only have a certain amount of time, so I got to keep this short. I am Kim. A lot of people know me as Kim Jackson. I used to work on Channel 8. I worked at Channel 8 for about 20 years before I left the business. My life kind of took some changes. I got married, and we moved to, found love, and that meant moving. And so we packed up. That's why I'm D.C. That's why I'm here in D.C., So I am sort of like, I don't know what I would call this time in my life, but everyone has times and different seasons and things change. But, I lived in Tulsa my entire life and I worked on the news, but also the way Alisa and I met, I was a teen mom. And so I got pregnant my senior year in high school, and then I, went on to go to college and raise my children in Tulsa, as well as work with Channel 8. And I just love the community of Tulsa and so many good people there doing so many good things like you guys are. And so just, I was there for a long time. Now I'm in D.C. My heart is still in Tulsa. So that's why I'm so glad to see your nice, friendly faces today. So
thank you so, so much. So, and that is our whole goal for this year with the podcast. We're changing the narratives and we're wanting to highlight success stories. And that is why you're here today, to share your success story. And, I'm a young mom myself, so it's good to highlight teen mom stories that have turned into success stories.
Yeah. So, Ayan, how old is your baby?
He is 14 months.
Okay.
So he is a baby. Toddler, okay. A toddler and running. So pray for me.
I will. And those are the fun years of having a little one. It's a lot of work, and you all probably wonder, how do you get through a day? And I certainly understand, because I had twins. I got pregnant with twins my senior year in high school.
Oh my.
And we went to a school called Margaret Hudson School for Teen Parents. And
wow,
one of the teachers back then said, "Wow, Kim, you really know how to do something, don't you? Like, if you're going to do it, you really do it. Like, you didn't just have one baby, you had two babies." But they were a blessing. My twins were a blessing. I often say now that they really were the impetus to me trying to be successful, because they reminded me that I really couldn't fail, and I was afraid of failing. Two babies coming along, the pressure of trying to go to college, of thinking that that's the only way for me is to go to college, and now maybe I've ruined everything because I got pregnant. And it was just the opposite. They really, spurred me on to pursue education, and they convinced me I needed to do that and not stop until I finished. And so I had decided, like my sophomore year in high school, that I wanted to go into broadcast journalism. I had done a pageant, and I was like, I felt like I had my whole world in front of me. And then it's like a year and a half later, I get pregnant. That wasn't in the plans, right?
It never really is. And you're never really prepared to, become a parent. But I really, really love your story. And I want to ask, between all of this, joining the media consulting during your junior year and then becoming pregnant in your senior year, did you do it all yourself? Like, how was that experience? What was going on during that time in your life?
Well, I found that I was pregnant like the summer going into my senior year. And I was in a program called Upward Bound, where they get you prepared to go to college. It like bridges the gap between high school and college. And so, I was studying at Rogers State College and figuring out I go into my senior year and then thinking about going to school. my last year, then going to college. And then that just wasn't what I expected. So I didn't do it by myself. You know, I had my children's father. We got married our senior year. So when I graduated high school, I was married and I had twins. Mm-hmm. And so I remember like one of our family members kept the twins so I could go graduate.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you need that support.
I had a lot of support. I did. My family was supportive. My in-laws were supportive and the twins were very loved. Mm-hmm. And so I really grew up with them and I, to this day, I'm indebted to them. I owe them so much because they probably got the worst version of me because I was just struggling, trying to get through school. You know, everything was new, motherhood, mm-hmm. school.
Right.
You know, that's a lot of transition for babies to go through. And mm-hmm. My twins are going to be 35 next month.
You look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I want to look that good.
I can't believe my babies are going to be 35. You know, it's unbelievable. They really are. They're really adults on their own. So, mm-hmm. So getting back to, so my journey took me from Central High School, Margaret Hudson, to Tulsa Junior College, known as Tulsa Community College now. And then I found out I wanted to go into journalism. I was determined to go into journalism. I really wasn't listening to people that had anything else to say. That was like, I was doing this. I was going to do this. So
passion. I
found out that by then my twins were like in preschool and getting ready for kindergarten. So I figured out a way I could go to TCC, Tulsa Community College, and then go to TU and mm-hmm. and take out the minimal amount of loans. So I went to the University of Tulsa and I paid for it all. I got me a Pell Grant, whatever wow. financial aid I could get, and took out loans for the rest of it. And so I was just a hard-headed young lady who was very stubborn about what I wanted to do at the time. And fortunately, go ahead.
I'm sorry. So, Kim, you said you were a sophomore when you decided you were going into broadcast journalism. So mm-hmm. college was always a part of your trajectory.
Right, your vision.
So were you the first generation in your family to move through that? Or did someone, who helped you to navigate that? Because for me, that was the scariest part. College was never my trajectory, but when I got there, I needed someone to help me navigate that. Who helped you navigate that space?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I think my dad was in the Navy. My mom had done some college. They had both done some college, but neither one of them had graduated. And so I grew up in a single family home. My dad really wasn't in my life until later on. I mean, we would visit, but I mean, I didn't have a strong two parent family is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And I did have a strong family, but I knew that I had to do what I need to do for myself. It just, there really just wasn't another option for me. I don't even know when that came into my head that I have to go to college. It may have been when I was in high school. And I just started getting involved and maybe my counselors. And I do know I had some special people come along that got me involved in this program called Jackie Terry and Leon Rollerston got me involved in this program called the Youth Awareness Program. And that was when I was probably in junior high and high school. And we would go to, that radio station on Apache, and they would let us do a little radio show. And so I started mm-hmm. doing that. And it was probably
so fun.
Yeah, it was. But that probably had a bigger impact on me now than I really realized. And just talking to you guys about it.
Wow.
They would let us come. I think it was KXOJ. I think that was the radio station.
That was it.
You know, that was
back in the day. North Tulsa.
We would listen to the radio, Ayanna, and we would get our little cassette deck and we would record songs off the radio.
Really?
To have it on cassette. Okay, that was a long time ago.
I know right? what you're talking about, though.
You know what I'm talking about? Like uh-huh. now y'all have like, you know, we have all these different devices and contraptions mm-hmm. for recording and capturing video and audio. But yeah, we mm-hmm. used to do that. And so they would let us go on Saturday mornings. We would do that. Leon Rollerson, God rest his soul, he passed away already. But Jackie Terry, she is still with us, and she poured into us every Saturday. They would let us come, and we would have guests come on the Youth Awareness Program. A young man named Curtis Ross, who's the son of Don Ross. He's also passed away, but you know, Curtis would come and he would do that with us. And that had a big impact on me because I fell in love with what I was doing. I found a niche for talking, you know, I kind of found myself. And so that combined with just my own pressure, thinking that I have to go to college. I really just didn't see another option. Like, what was I going to do?
Right. There was no ultimatum.
I didn't know what else to do. And so I got involved in school and I got involved in leadership because I just needed an outlet. I just didn't think anything else. And I just wanted to take care of myself, be independent. And really, God just kept me. Honestly, he really did. Because that's the truth. God really had his hand on my life the whole time. And so while I can say, I don't know. Well, he always brought the right person along. Mm-hmm. I can tell you this. When I was a sophomore, I met a lady named Lillian Beckstrom. And Lillian heard me on the radio one day, and she was like, there's something about you, you know, just something about you. And so she was on the Martin Luther King Commemoration Society board that year. And she got me. This was a very pivotal time for me now that we talk about it. She you know, wrangled me into doing the scripture for the citywide MLK church service at Boston Avenue Church on Sunday. It was a really big deal back then.
Wow.
Yeah, the holiday had just been legalized and we were really celebrating. And she got me to do the scripture. And she just took a liking to me. And she was like, I'm going to get you in a pageant. And she took me under her wing and she really poured into me and made me think about life in a bigger way. And so all those people from my church to my school leaders at Central High School, Miss Jackson, Mr. Turnetti, Mr. Hunt, all these individuals really did. And Miss Cleta Driver was my English teacher. She saw a talent in me and they just encouraged me, you know, they really did. And that, along with my own personal drive, it just all like kept me going. And so when I got pregnant, I really didn't skip much of a beat because I had already had, when I graduated, I think I had 6 credit hours of college and I just was, I was afraid. I was like, you know, my mom didn't have a lot of money for me to go to college. I knew that. My dad didn't have a lot of money for me to go to college and I knew I wanted to go to school. So I fooled around and got pregnant. And I remember the night before, the day before, the Friday before I was taking the ACT, he was my boyfriend then, became my husband, went to the doctor. They were like, you're going to give you an ultrasound and, you know, just take a look and see how the baby's doing. Cause it was a baby, one baby. And took that thing and rolled it around my stomach. And they were like, whoa, wait a minute here. There's two. You have got to be kidding me. What?
I would have stopped breathing for a moment. Like, hold on. What?
Yeah. Okay. I probably did. But we were excited. And so I found out I was having twins that Friday. The next day I went and took the ACT. So
I feel like you made it happen within your circumstances. And that is why we wanted you to come today to share how you change your own narrative. So a question I have for you is, what is essential to changing a narrative? Or what does changing a narrative look like?
I think it looks like a person consciously making a decision for what they really want, you know, as opposed to what it could be or is supposed to be. And that's all about decisions. You make one decision can determine so much about your life, you know.
Right.
What if I had said no to the Youth Awareness Program? What if I had said no to Lillian Beckstrom when she said, do you want to do the scripture? You know, any of those things could have turned me a completely different way because, you know, like the Bible says, you know, but for the grace of God, there goeth I. You know, I could have gone a whole bunch of different ways. I went to Central High School. I grew up in North Tulsa and I went to churches, but there were plenty of bad influences around. You know, I very much could have been a bad girl too, you know.
Where there's good, there's bad.
I was a good girl. No one thought I was like doing it, right? Anyway.
Hey, what? Keep it real. Keep it real.
Oh, yeah. What? Oh my gosh. But anyway, you know, so life is about decisions. It's about, you know, every day you wake up, you have an opportunity to change the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do a serious change, or it could be a slight change. And sometimes if you're going along and you make a slight change, but you keep going that slight direction, you know, you're going to veer way off from where you were before, where you could have been had you even gone the other direction. So I think it's all about decisions that you make for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. You gave us all of these yeses, and you were committed to these yeses, not really thinking about the long-term implication of your yeses. So how do you think your yeses change the lives of your children? Because you could have said no, and their lives would have been very different.
You're right.
But your yeses, although they were the motivation, your yeses really developed you as an individual, you as the person, Kim, not as the mom, Kim, but in saying yes to yourself, what differences do you think that made for your children?
Now, you didn't tell me you're going to be up here trying to make me cry and stuff like that. Okay. So I think that, I mean, yeses do matter, and I said yes, but then there's also a lot of times I probably should have said no. And I think sometimes, you know, I think it impacted the yeses and the nos both impacted my children. And certainly as you get to a certain age, like where I am now, my children are, you know, about to be 35, where I have, I think, 6 grandkids now, you know, you can't get the time back. And so, you know, there are just times I wish I had slowed down, maybe not to a no, but just maybe like, yeah, in a minute. Or, but I think the yeses, especially the yeses that you take for yourself, really do matter. You have to understand it really does impact. I think hopefully I was a positive role model to my children. Certainly while I was grinding and trying to do different things, I always wanted to set the example for them that no matter where you come from, you know, you can achieve your dreams. And it certainly means my standards for them have been higher because I feel like I tried to set them a step ahead of me of where I was. And so, and I think as parents, we always want our children to be better than we are.
Right.
And, you know, I want them to take whatever gifts I have and that I pass on to them and multiply those for their own good and for their children. Like I look at my grandchildren now and I want them to be so much better than I ever was. So, your yeses and your decisions do impact your kids because, like, just when you think no one is watching, they really are. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, we all want to lead a life that we can be proud of and that they can be proud of. I think that's what really matters when you get to a certain point in your life, you know?
Mm. That your response really resonates with me because I've worked with hundreds of young mothers at this point. And one of the central themes in working with those mothers is that they don't understand that they have the right to say yes for themselves.
Right.
Or to have hard no's and stick with those hard no's. So that's really encouraging. And I thank you for the young people who will hear this later because you've given them permission to choose them. And as when you are 18, 19, 17 and you're pregnant, everyone tells you that it's no longer about you.
Right.
And it's that about your life the baby and that you everything, every decision has to be made around the baby and the well-being of the baby. Mm-hmm. But the real important thing is that you make decisions for your future development. I always say once you determine to be a mom, then you have the most awesome responsibility in the world, to develop you. Ooh, and to yes. become the most, the best version of yourself that you possibly can mm-hmm. in order for those children to have any semblance of a chance. So I applaud you for that and thank you. And to even have that type of mind space for me at that age, I was like, I got to go get a job. I have mm-hmm. to figure this out. It wasn't until I got to college at 23 that I figured out, oh, there's an easier way. Although financially we may have had less, but as a family and as a unit, we had more because I spent every waking moment with them or bettering myself. Wow. And so I think we became better. I became a better parent to them because of that.
Good for you, Alyssa, and congratulations on helping hundreds of young ladies as they go through this thing called motherhood that comes with so many twists and turns. And certainly finding out that you're pregnant, it's a life-changing moment, but it can make you feel, you know, devastated because it's not what you planned. And it's like, instead of, you know, your mom, your parents taking care of you, all of a sudden there's another child for them to take care of, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just really thank God for keeping me, and it does change you. And I understand when people do say it is all about the baby now. It's all about, you got to think, because you do have to think about them and their well-being and the decisions you make. They do affect your children. So it's just such a hard balance, I think, you have to find, like, what's really going to be best. And like sometimes, sometimes it's hard for you to understand to bite the bullet and go to school when you know you can go to work and get a paycheck, even though it's going to be a little paycheck and you're going to have to grind it out right now while you're in school. I remember, y'all, I remember when I was going, I went to TCC and we sat there and wrote out all of the classes I was going to take that TCC would allow me to take and that TU would accept. So I think it was like, let's just say it was 60 hours. I took all 60 hours I could for the cheap price of junior college, because at TU, I think it was like $394 a credit hour back then. And TCC was like $33 a credit hour back then. So, and now, gosh, tuition is so expensive, but that was a lot of money. And my mother, my parents were not saying, babe, here's the check. You go to school, baby. That wasn't happening. And I remember my last semester at school at TU, I was taking 18 hours because at the time, I think 18 hours cost the same as 12 hours. And I was just trying to get as much in as I could. And my mother was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Don't you know? Don't you think you need to slow down some? And I didn't feel like I could, because I felt like I needed to get done with school so I could get out and get a job, you know? And then
get
when
things
I did
rolling.
Right. You have a lot of decisions, and my kids, certainly they needed me more, but I was in school, then I worked, then I went straight into my career. And I just, you know, sometimes you do what you have to do. And I was just stubborn enough that I didn't listen to too many people. I just was trying to do what I could do for, you know, that I saw the best way to do it. I was only 18, 19, 20 years old. I look at my
kids
now.
You don't know what's going on, man. Like, you just don't know what you're doing, who you are, what you want. Well, in your case, you knew what you wanted to do when you got into the broadcasting and journalism.
I didn't know a thing, Ayana. I didn't know a thing. I did not. I was just so young. And but that is the precious thing about youth, you know, and the young ladies that you all encounter, is that they can be anything they want to be. You can do anything you want to do. I used to always tell other kids, I'd go speak to students, and I'd be like, you can go to college, and if you want to be a doctor, guess what? You are 18 years old right now. You could go be a doctor. You could go be a lawyer. You know what? Go be a nurse.
Being encouraging.
It's the truth. You know, when you're young, you can do it.
Right.
You can do it.
And that's why I really, really appreciate Ms. Bell. She is that woman out here encouraging us young mothers and instilling in us that we still have a future and we still have so much to do in the world. And, you know, when you hear about a teen parent or, you know, just a young mom, you think their life is over. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you need to get to work or like I just said, your life is over. And that's not the case at all. We just have to tap into our natural strengths and do what we really love to do. So true. I know we're short on time, but I did want to ask you about a few more things. I did some research on you on your LinkedIn and I found some amazing stuff. I saw you're a fitness guru and I know you can share some healthy lifestyle tips with us. You're also a motivational speaker. And I wanted to ask, maybe at a later time, but what is the necessary training to become a media professional or motivational speaker?
Okay. A lot of the things I do have just come about as me living. So fitness guru, I do love fitness because I realized that at some point I had 4 children and I always wanted to be healthy enough to take care of my children. And I thought, I really, at one point, Ayana, was thinking like, if I died, who would take care of my kids? And so I was like, I'm going to always have to be healthy. And then they grew up. Like my youngest son is 23 now. So they're grown. Now I'm just, you know, hopefully going to be healthy the rest of my life. But I just wanted to be healthy.
Well, you look amazing. Like I said, you look amazing.
Thank you. I think health is a very important thing for me. And thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Before I left Tulsa, I led the fitness ministry at Metropolitan Baptist Church because, you know, I think our community needs to know about heart disease, about health and wellness, about obesity, about eliminating chronic illness. And that was always my message. I used my platform from television to share messages of health and wellness. So physical,
really
emotional health.
That.
It's true. Like I see people my age running around and it's like, you know, they are dying now from chronic illness. People are having strokes from not managing blood pressure. People are dying from cancer unnecessarily, you know, disregarding early detection. So I think we all just have to do the best we can. And as I've learned, I have tried to use my lessons to share those so other people don't have to learn the hard lessons that I have learned. And so I like to work out and it's a big part of my life now. And I think it's important. And as for becoming like motivational speaker and things like that, that came about because, you know, I was on TV, so people were always asking me to come speak. And so I just started sharing my story and I realized that moms need so much encouragement because we never think we really do enough.
Right.
And my message has always been from my own lessons that we do the best we can, that we know how, when we know. And as we get better, we mother better. So I always say that I believe my youngest son got the best version of me. I got better at it. I learned. I think my twins, they got the most immature little mother. I was like 18 years old, you know, grabbing them in those little carry-all things. You know, we were rolling all the time then. And, you know, but they were really sweet, well-behaved children. And I was really blessed to have them. So I just think as moms, we never think we do enough. And I always want to encourage women, you know, that you're doing good and you did the best you could. You're doing the best you can, right? If you do the best you can, you know,
with what
you can do.
Absolutely. That's really interesting to me because I would say mine in the reverse.
Yeah.
I would say that my younger kids got the better version because I was by myself and I was a single mom and I knew that I was all that they had to depend on.
Your younger ones or your older?
My younger ones.
Okay.
Excuse me, my older ones. I'm sorry, my older ones. My older ones got the better version of me because it was just me. And every decision I had to make it by myself and I was all that, we were all that we had. And my youngest, my baby is 27. And, you know, when she went away to college, she went to D.C. She lived in D.C. for 4 years. And as we started to process this, I realized that because she had a good dad, he was in the home, he was present, he was involved in her life, he loved her, he was there for her, that I, in some ways, took my hands off because I was so appreciative that she was the one that had this good dad and no one else had one. So some of the mothering she didn't get that the older ones got.
Mm-hmm. But so, she also got the fathering that they didn't have.
She got the fathering that they didn't have. She got the support. I think she is a much more confident woman because she got the fathering.
And look at you. Look at all you've been able to accomplish, you know. And so maybe in some ways that may have freed you up to be able to explore and do some things, pursue your dreams. Yourself.
It did. I did. I developed during that period. I was on boards and in my corporate role and, you know, trying to figure things out. I'll tell you right now, she got drugged to so many meetings that she could probably conduct a full-blown adult meeting by the time she was 7 or 8 years old.
Wow.
So she
what a blessing. Her, like to see you. It's funny how life is. Like, she would probably draw on those lessons that she had with you while you're sitting here saying what you're saying today. She'll be thinking, you know, man, my mom really made an impact in my life. I saw her being this strong woman that was handling it all. And she had a man at home, you know, he had her back. I want a man to be behind, have my mom, have my back like my dad had my mom's back.
Absolutely. So
she could be that queen, you know?
We need that.
Absolutely. And I think that's why both parents are so necessary.
Right.
And we have to start talking about co-parenting in a way that supports and gives each person the opportunity to be what they need to be for the child's development.
Exactly.
And I just want to share before you cut me off, is that you can reinvent your life at any point. And so we go back to decisions. You know, you said what made you, you know, it's decisions. And I got married, but I got divorced and I had some very low years in my life. You know, I had some very hard times raising my children, but you know, God kept me. I met my Prince Charming a few years ago and I'm so thankful. And so now I've gone from being on TV. I've done news here in DC, but also now I'm doing media consulting. And so I'm in a whole different place that my little 18-year-old self never saw me being, you know, 30 years later.
So 35 successful. Years later.
Thank you.
And that's what we still love.
Still growing yes. and learning, you know, at my age. So never give up.
Okay.
And you are amazing. A beautiful grandma of six grandchildren.
Yes.
And our four babies.
Yes.
Healthy.
Thank you. Just keep at it. I wake up every day and thank God for another day and asking God to continually change my heart to help me love better, love more, show love more in different ways. And so just keep going and keep growing. That's my message to all the young ladies that may listen to this. If you take anything away from what I've had to say today, is number one, don't give up. You can do it. And number two, never give up on yourself. Keep changing, keep growing and making good decisions.
Perfect. Well, Ms. Kim, we really, really appreciate you and your time today and your words of wisdom. We really appreciate you. And hopefully in the future, maybe you can come back on and talk about your fitness and your healthy lifestyle tips, because I want to know some more of that and, you know, just to unfold more of your talents. But we really appreciate you today. And we all appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you so much for your love and support. We'll see you next time.